Before we share in the Word, I want to just share a little bit of information. As you know, a number of months ago, we hired Cindy Mock, who is a person in our church in developing ministries and coordinating ministries. And we found out that as she has been doing this and this ministry, that sometimes knowing what's going on in the church has been a big help in facilitating things in the church. As you know, Artis is a church secretary, but she's not a church member. She doesn't attend the church. She's a wonderful believer. And sometimes her not being in the church has caused us to have to do many things. And so we talked together, Pastor Mark and I and Artis and Cindy, and we decided that it works out a little better if Cindy was able to be here some mornings doing her ministry at the computer and having access in that sense. So just to let you know, there's going to be a little change. No one's being hurt. Everything's happy. In fact, Arta says she'd like to have Mondays off so she has a long weekend and can go off somewhere with her husband, and he's retired. So not starting this week, but starting the following week, Arta is going to be in Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Cindy is going to be in on Monday and Wednesday. So if you pick up a phone and it's not Artis and it's Cindy, that should just let you know why. It's just working out better for the pastors, working out better for getting things with the ministry in having someone in the church to have some access on in the mornings with arranging a lot of things during the week. And there's a staff meeting at the beginning of the week with Cindy and Artis and Pastor Mark just to work on things they're each going to be doing. So we've had a long talk with Artis, and we've been sharing and talking with her, and she's very happy. And so we want to continue. We love her very dearly and want her to continue on. So just to let you know of Cindy's involvement in doing some work. It's not going to be change in hours or anything, a little less for Artis, but basically the same for Cindy. So just to let you know, Cindy and Artis are going to be sharing the office and doing specific ministry for their responsibilities. Well, we're coming this morning to the final message on this series that I started back in November called The Names of a Believer. This was very similar to the series we had last winter when I had the names of Jesus, how he's called the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Christ, the Alpha, the Omega, these different names. And this year we've looked at the names of a believer. We're called Christians because Jesus is the Christ. In fact, that's one of the things we've learned, that the names we have been given to us is directly correlated because of the names that were given to Jesus Christ. We're called the Christians because we are belonging to Christ himself. That's what a Christian is. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're Christ ones. We're a son of God with a little s because Jesus is the Son of God with a big S. We are an heir because Christ is an heir. We are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. We are ambassadors for God because just as the Father has sent me, Jesus said, he was an ambassador, I send you. We are an ambassador on behalf of Christ as he is the ambassador on behalf of his Father. We are called a branch because Jesus was called the branch. In the Old Testament, a branch shall come forth out of Jesse, and this was going to be the Christ, and now he is the vine, and we are the branches, and he brought forth fruit, and we bring forth fruit. He is the bridegroom because we are the bride. And so all these names are given to us as our identity with the person of Jesus Christ. So this is the last message in that series. And the message really is on the word servant or slave. We are a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you that there are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses in the New Testament, mostly spoken by Jesus, about the word servant, slave, serving, ministry. And this would have to take probably three sermons, but since I'm going to Europe tonight, I decided, well, what can I do? So little did I know, if I could say this personally, that what I would learn from doing this more direct message, because what I found out, it's very appropriate to this being the last message on this series about the person of Jesus Christ and the name given to us. Well, this is in John chapter 15. He says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So the point here that he's saying is that you are the slave, I'm the master. So the slave is not above the master. They persecuted me, the master, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. They keep my word as the master, keeping your word. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Now that's a very important verse to understanding what he's saying here, which we're going to get to in a moment. But these things they will do to you for my own name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Jesus was sent by the Father as we're sent by Jesus. So let's just talk for a minute about, in a nutshell a little bit, about kind of a sweeping view of what it is to be a servant or a slave. Well, a servant was someone who was, in a number of ways, hired. Jesus gave us a lot of parables about the man who went out at the 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock, 3, 4, 5, and he went to look for servants, for slaves to do his work. You're hired, you do a certain job, you get a wage, and in many ways, if you were hired as a slave, you were being paid because hopefully, eventually, you could buy your freedom. You had got some money, and you were not obligated to this person. You could buy some freedom. Many times slaves were bought, and if you were bought in that sense, you could earn money to buy your freedom. And of course, the year of Jubilee that Don Robbins spoke about was the great thing that even if you didn't have the right and the money to earn your freedom, you were free anyway. Everybody was all level again. If you were a billionaire, oh, you got to start over again. So that it doesn't have that everyone's rich and there's always this poverty level and this rich level. No, let's start over again. That was an amazing thing. That was an economic rule in the land of Israel. So slaves were free in the year of Jubilee. And so ultimately what happened is that if you wanted to be more than just a slave, there was another thing called being a bond slave or a bond servant. And a bond servant was someone who was so committed to his master that that the master would provide their money and their health insurance and caring for them and watching over them, that this was such a good boss and he was so worthy of serving him that I didn't want my freedom. I'm committed to him for life, for life. And it's almost like the marriage commitment. I take you as my master for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And there's many indications that there was an indication that people either wore a belt or they had a indentation in their earlobe that they were a bondservant. There was this indentation. They wore this hole that showed that the minute you saw that person, they were a bondservant. They weren't for sale. You couldn't negotiate with them. It had already been done. They're a bondservant. They're almost, if I could say this, stamped ownered ownership to that person that owned them. So that's a servant. You could be bought. Buy your freedom, you could be hired, do the job, get your money, but you're a servant, a slave. The bondservant was the one that was committed totally to their master with no hope of any freedom. Now, it's very interesting, of course, that when you look at the writings of the Bible and the disciples, all of them call themselves bondservants. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. He was committed to Jesus Christ, and he went through some pretty hairy things for Jesus Christ. He said, look, I even have the marks of Jesus Christ on me. He was whipped, he was scourged, he went through tremendous things, all for the sake of Jesus Christ. In Philippians, he says, Paul and Timothy, so here's Timothy, I'm a bondservant, we are bondservants, plural, of Christ Jesus. Timothy was so committed that even if it was to be the point of death, I will die for my master. Titus, Paul, a bondservant of Christ, an apostle of Jesus Christ. James, the other apostle, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And Jude, who, by the way, Jude was a brother of Jesus. Jude is specifically mentioned in the apostles as when it was his mother and his brothers looking for him. Jude is mentioned as the physical, if I could say this, in the family of the brother of Jesus and Joseph and Mary. But of course, he eventually came to faith in believing that his brother was the Messiah. Jude, a bondservant. Even though he could say, my brother Jesus, no, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He realized this was a different level. I'm a bondservant to my Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was of the family and a brother, if I could say this, of Jesus Christ himself. So here is the bondservant view that these men had. Now, remember that our position, that we have names, whether it's Christian and son and heir and ambassador and branch and all these things that are given to us, remember that, our position is because we have to remember Jesus' position. And let me tell you something. This is what I learned very amazingly. Jesus was very conscious of his position, that he was a servant. You know the very great passages. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve. Now imagine, this is the Almighty God. This is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but I came to serve and to give. And to give my life a ransom for many. To serve and to give. The reason we are of this name is because this is the name that Jesus had. Jesus came as a bondservant to his Father. Jesus came as a slave to his Father. What's the first things that people do when they are wanted to do things for Lord, for the Lord? Lord, what will you have me to do? That's the first thing that Paul said. Lord, what will you have me to do? When God was looking for people in Isaiah chapter 6, who will go for us? Here I am, send me. Send me, I will go for you. Well, no, before you go, you see, before you get a job, you got to find out what benefits you have and how much K-104 or 104K, whatever it's called, right? Not K-104, what is it called? 401K, or okay, that's it, whatever. And you got to find out, you know, how many raises you get every 6 months. That's not what a servant is. Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you? Not my will be done, your will be done. I've come to do the will of him who sent me. And the reason we are called this and we have the honor and the privilege of this is because Jesus did this. I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. The obsessive thing that Jesus said was that I came to do my Father's will. And what he wants, I will do. Without question, without hesitation, even to the point of death. Death on the cross. Remember when Jesus was in the talking to the Samaritan woman. They said, Lord, aren't you hungry? He says, I have food that you do not know of. And I have drink that you do not know of. What is my food and what is my drink? My food, my sustenance, my motivation, my impetus is to do the will of him who sent me. We don't understand that until we understand that we are servants. We are servants because Jesus Christ is the ultimate servant. The ultimate servant. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. And this explains why Jesus always kept talking about not just believing in me, but I have come as the servant, the Lord's servant, of believing upon him who sent me. I'm the one that's showing you he has seen me, has seen the Father. Remember, Jesus says, the Father, which is greater than all. In fact, that's the next passage. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. Jesus was very conscious that he came as the second person of the Trinity. He's not the first person of the Trinity. The first person of the Trinity is the Father, who's the architect of salvation. But he is the one that sent the Son, who's the second person of the Trinity. Number two. Number two. It's nothing wrong with being second. Jesus was number two, sent by the Father. No one is able to snatch him out of my Father's hand. But the Father is greater than all. Greater than all. I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. Jesus, what he did was because God told him, do this. I will do this. Say this. I will say this. Perform this. I will perform this. Die for this. I will die for this. Oh, what did I just say? Die for this? Oh, no, no. I will say this. I will do this. But I ain't dying for this. Listen to these words. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Obviously, the glory he had, he's lost. Right? He became flesh. He on the transfiguration, you saw a little bit of that glory. Now glorify me, because the glory which I had with you, because you're the glory, the Shekinah glory. I have manifested your name to the men who you have given me or gave me out of the world. Who gave us to Jesus? The Father gave us to Jesus. All that the Father has given to me shall come to me. Now, who is bigger? The one who receives it, the one who gives it. The one who gives it. It's his prerogative to give it. And all that the Father has given me, I will lose not one. Why? He's the second person of the Trinity. Jesus was a slave, a servant, the bondservant to obey his heavenly Father. That was his obsessive motivation. Look, this is his prayer. I have manifested your name to the men who you gave me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. Now who's greater? The one who gives it or the one who receives it? The one who gives it. It's his storehouse that he gives all these things to the Son. Look, that everything you have given me was mine to begin with. No, sorry. Everything you've given to me was from you. You're the prerogative. You are the one that's given these things to me. For the word which you gave to me, I have given to them. Notice, the words that you gave to me, speaking about being born again, Sermon on the Mount, preaching the kingdom of God. Where did Jesus get that? He gave that as a servant from his Father. The Master gave it to his Son. I have given to them, and they receive them and truly understand that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. Now, who's greater? The one who goes, the one who is sent? I mean, the one who is the one who is the goer, the one who is the sender. The sender has the resources, the ability, the power. He has sent them out as an ambassador on their behalf. So this is what's amazing about this truth. What's amazing about this truth is that because Jesus took on himself the form of a bondservant, because Jesus was willing to humble himself and obey his Father, obeying his word, obeying his will, that was the foundation for the position that Jesus Christ has now. You hear what I said? Because Jesus was the servant of the Lord and humbled himself and came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, that was the foundation for the position that Jesus Christ has now. Now think of the position that Jesus Christ has now. All power and authority is given to me. I have all power. The keys of death and hell are in my hands. We pray in Jesus' name. We worship in Jesus' name. We ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no forgiveness of sins. Every knee and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus showed us a very powerful principle, which is the way up is down. You want to see God? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Jesus taught us this. The way of being at the right hand of my Father was to humble myself in serving and obeying my Father. You know, this is a principle that is, if I could say this, this is a principle that's a reality in the universe. God is opposed to the proud. Notice, He giveth grace, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to pride, to promoting yourself, to getting your way. Humble yourself under the presence of the Lord, and he will, not he might, he will exalt you. You know, it talks about in the book of Proverbs, seven things the Lord hates. You know what's the first thing? A haughty spirit. A haughty spirit. So there's something in this universe. There's this principle in this universe that is, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's the principle in this universe. There's more blessed to serve than to be served. That's the reality that Jesus shows us, and that's the reality that Jesus says will be ours as we are servants of Jesus Christ. Now, John chapter 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. I am the teacher. I am the Lord. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. If I am the Lord and I wash your feet, then you ought to wash other people's feet. For I give you as an example that you also should do as I did to you. What's the example? That I wash your feet. I didn't say, oh, look, I'm the Lord. You better wash my feet. And if you don't wash my feet and kowtow to me and give me what's my due, hey, let me tell you, you're toast. You know, if Jesus spoke like that, he wouldn't have the power to make us toast. You get it? He wouldn't have any power to do that. You know, people say, remember my friend Bob Moore, he goes to these high schools, and he says, you know, I mean, understand the framework, what I'm saying. He says, you know, teenagers love to say this, oh, go to hell. First of all, my friend, you don't have the power to send anybody to hell. And if you don't change your heart, you're going to hell. Because the people whose hearts aren't changed, and you think you got the power to condemn someone to hell, they're the ones ending up in hell. Because God's opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The way up is down. Have mercy upon me. Ah, now you're talking. I give you as an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who was sent greater than the one who sent him. I said that. Who's greater, the one who sent him or the one sent? The one who sent him. If you do these things, you are blessed if you do them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. There is a principle in this universe that serving is much more powerful and fulfilling and gratifying in obeying your call in your life than to be served. There's this principle. Now, of course, this is diametrically opposed to everything in the world. Everything in the world is, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Marriage, what's in it for me? The job, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? How do you scratch this and do this and do this and comfort here? I mean, just look at the advertisements of the world. It's all about what's in it for you. Go for it. Do it. This bud's for you, brother. But you see, the point is, if we start to say, oh, poor me. Oh, poor me. It's so hard to get out of bed. First of all, if you have an attitude like that, you don't deserve strength to serve. What do you need strength for? But if you start to see that I want to be a servant and serve, you know what's something? It's amazing the strength that God gives to you. Let me tell you something. April 1st, 1977, almost 6 years after I became a Christian, I had a complete reversal in my Christian spirit. I used to be depressed as a Christian. I was not in sin. I was not disobeying the Lord. I was seeking the Lord with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I was depressed, felt like a failure, felt poor me. And on that day, God changed my heart. And you know what the main principle is? The main principle is I didn't come to get, I came to give. When I used to come to church, oh, what I can get, oh, if he could just charge my battery, I'll just weaken it down for a week. Oh, charge my battery, Pastor, and get me down. Oh, charge my battery. Forget that. You're weak. I was weak. No wonder I'm moping and groping. No wonder I'm an idiot. No wonder I can't hardly get out of bed. What do I need strength for? I'm not doing anything. And then April 1st, I came to give. And my wife says, I'm not even the same person she married. Giving to God's work and helping people and going out to minister to people and visiting people and praying for people. And the reason I'm in the ministry this day is because of that day, April 1st, 1977. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. This spiritual truth. So my friend, if you think we're here to serve you, we're here to serve you, but we're here to serve you to get you strong to serve others. If all you need is serving, 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 you better reevaluate your position because you're not above your master. We're not above our master. The crowning motivation of Jesus Christ was that he came not to be served, but to serve. And you're never going to know spiritual fulfillment and truth if all you're saying is poor me and what's in it for me and who can do it for me, or the pastor didn't call me here and no one was interested here and no one. What are you, 2 years old? That's not the point. That's not the point. You have spiritual strength as a servant of Jesus Christ to be in ministry and to serve and to do wonderful things and powerful things for Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us, the more we're a slave, the more powerful we'll be. If you're a bondservant to Christ, look what he does with his bondservants. Yeah, you may say, well, I mean, they ended up dying, being beheaded. Well, I mean, here we are 2,000 years later, and everyone's quoting and preaching and the writings of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle James and Jude and all these great writers. Why? Because God made sure that their service was of powerful, eternal value. But then the opposite is true. The opposite is, look at me. Look what I do for Jesus. Look at me. Look what I've done for Jesus. You got to be careful of that. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field? Now, follow this slowly because it gets a little tricky with the English. Let me read it again. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, so this is the slave outside plowing and tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field. The slave is outside plowing and tending the sheep. He comes in, the slave comes in. Which of you will ever say to him, come immediately and sit down to eat? Does the master say to the slave, come on in, sit down and eat? But will he not say to him, oh, Mr. Servant, you're out in the field and doing this and doing this and doing this. Oh, by the way, come on in. Prepare something for me. You're the slave. I'm the master. Doesn't matter how hard you've worked. I'm the master. Prepare something for me. And properly clothe yourself and serve me. Oh, get out of the smelly stuff. I can't have the smelly stuff around me. Put on the nice new suit you got there. And then come into the room and bring my lamb, bring my vegetables, that I may eat and drink. And after that, after you've served me, you may eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he does the things which were commanded, does he? Oh, thank you, Mr. Slave, that, oh, you worked so hard, and I know that you were hungry and stuff, but thank you. He says he doesn't thank the slave because he did the things that were commanded, does he? So you too, now this is Jesus speaking, my friend. This is not me speaking. This is not Paul speaking. So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have only done that which we ought to have done. Let me tell you something. The more you have, the more humble you should be. And that's not a principle in the Christian world, by the way. The more you've received, the more blessings you've had, the more your serving has a result, the more humble it should make you, the more appreciative it should make you. Remember how many times Jesus said to the Pharisees who love to promote themselves, I fast twice a week, I give alms to the poor, you know, I give my tithe. You know what Jesus says of people like that? They have their reward in full. They have their reward in full. My friend, you know, when you promote yourself, Jesus is going to say, you know, there's nothing for me to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've already gotten your congratulations. I'm not going to congratulate you. Jesus says that. What's to congratulate you? You know, tithing, giving to the Lord's work. Well, if you don't tithe, you don't give the Lord's work. You know, that's a way of obeying. If you don't tithe and give the Lord's work, God's going to say, well, you had your money then. You didn't invest in anything for me to reward you. What's there to reward you? You had your reward in full. You had your house. You had your thing. You lived in comfort. You had this. People were poor. People were hungry. The church tried to reach out, but you didn't, you know, whatever it may be. You understand what I'm saying? It's realizing that there's this principle that serving, humbling, is the way up. Jesus taught us that. He showed us this principle. It is worth living for Jesus Christ. Jesus would have told us, Sam, it's worth living for my Father. It's worth living to obey my Heavenly Father, which, by the way, is your Father. Look at Matthew chapter 20. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to be among great among you, you shall be your servant. Who will be great? Let him be a servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. I mean, this is, why? Because Jesus told us the way to be first is to be a slave. Again, this is the foundational principle of the position that Jesus Christ has now. And let me tell you something. The reason he is the Christ is because he humbled himself. The reason he's the Son of God, capital S, the reason he is the branch is because he humbled. All of this position that he has, that we have because of him. How many times the Bible speaks about, as I told you, in the writings of Paul, we have everything in Christ and through Christ and by Christ and with him, with Christ. So for of him and through him and by him are all things. How did Jesus Christ get this position? He got this position because of this very truth that we're looking at. Notice, whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Well, Jesus, how did you get to be first? I became a slave. And I became my Father's bond slave. I'm not the first person in the Trinity. I'm number two. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Just think again. I mean, this is the amazing principle. I mean, that's why I said that if I was going into many other tangents we could do, and the parables, especially these parables that have these tremendous truths about serving, but if you don't get this principle, you won't understand why Jesus is speaking about, even if I come at the latest hour, or at the first hour. Remember when Jesus spoke the parable and says, a man was hired at 10 o'clock in the morning, and he worked all day, and he got a nickel. And a man was hired at 4 o'clock, and he worked till 5 o'clock, and he got a nickel. And why are you grumbling? Why are you grumbling? Well, because I deserve more. I worked harder. You don't understand what it is to be a servant. You don't understand that, praise God that you could serve me for these many hours. Because let me tell you something. The way up is down. And the more you serve, the more you'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Jesus is called the Christ, right? Well, if he's the Christ, which means anointed, who anointed him? The Father anointed him by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is called the Son of God. Well, if he's the Son, who's the Father? His Heavenly Father. If Jesus is an heir, who gives him the inheritance? Who's greater? The heir? Who's richer? The heir or the giver of the heir? The giver of the heir. When you pass away and you have, when you've fallen asleep and you give an inheritance to your children, who was the greater? You were the greater. You're the one that had the resource to give it. If Jesus is an ambassador, who sent him? The Father sent him. And this is amazing truth to realize that the Father that made him the Christ, the Father that gave him as the title Son, the Father made him an heir, the Father made him the ambassador, that we would become Christians, sons, heirs, ambassadors, and ultimately in serving Jesus Christ. But all of this truth is based upon, the foundation of this truth is based upon the position that we have now in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at these truths. John 13. Jesus knowing, this is before he washed the disciples' feet. Look at these verses. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. Now just imagine this. You know that the Father has given all things into my hands and that I came forth from the Almighty God and I'm going back to God. You know what many of us would do? Well, boy, you better kowtow to me because I'm the boss in town, right? I'm the Godfather, right? Look what he says. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. He got up from the supper, laid aside his garment, and taking a towel, he girded himself and washed the disciples' feet. Jesus, knowing of this position that was his, still was willing to humble himself to show the truth that the way up is the way down. Philippians 2, have this attitude in yourself which was also in Christ Jesus. This is what Paul is writing to the Philippian church and to our church and to every church. Have this attitude in yourself because this was the attitude of Christ himself, who although he existed in the form of God, He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. No, I'm not going to give this up. I'm not going to give this up. I'm not going to give this up. I got to be right. I got to keep my position. I got to keep my position. I'm not going to go down there and humble. No, I got to keep. He didn't do that. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant. What? What? Not just a servant? A bondservant. And being made in the likeness of men. I mean, that's one thing for God to humble himself to be found as a man. That's pretty humbling, isn't it? He who cannot be held with from heaven and earth, that one can what can man make that would inhabit the Almighty? He was made in likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, humbling, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Oh, Father, just give me an injection. What do they call it? When the people that are on the lethal injection. Just give me a lethal injection. Now they found out that there's a little twinge of pain there, not knowing they've caused how much pain and agony to the people they've killed. Poor little guy. Poor little guy. Being obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. For this reason, God, for what reason? For this reason, this attitude, this motivation, this truth, for this reason, God highly exalted him. As high as he's been exalted was as low as he went. The lower you go, the higher you'll be exalted. And bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Those are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why? Because the Father says, my son, this is the principle of the universe. To humble yourself is the way to be exalted. Servanthood is the way of position. Now again, let me show you interestingly how this truth is, especially when we look at a number of things way before all the coming of Jesus. These are some passages that speaks about Lucifer, who's called the morning dawn. In Ezekiel, you are anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 are references to the fall of the angels. You are blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Ah, and what was found in him? Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Ah, it was pride. I want. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. How have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? This is Isaiah 14. You have been cut down to the earth. You have been weakened. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the right on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And it's interesting that the fall of Satan, the bringing of sin into the universe, God says, well, guess what? You know how I'm going to destroy that? By the total opposite. You'd think that God would destroy sin by more power. Nope. God, you'll destroy sin by a consuming fire. Nope. How are you going to destroy sin? By the opposite of the sin. Pride is the sin. Humility is the answer. Not position. Serving. Not what's in it for me. What's in it for them. I will ascend on high, make myself as them. Read on. Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Here we have this passage when God told them, and he blessed them, and he gave to Adam and Eve all the blessings of fellowship with him and all the promises he'd have. But when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? It's good for me. It's a delight to me. It's a desirable thing to me. She took the fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband and her, and he ate. Pride. 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 Then we have this amazing passage in Numbers chapter 2. This is about Miriam. and Aaron, and they said, has the Lord indeed spoke only through Moses? Is only Moses the big honcho here? What about us? What about us? Has he not spoken through us as well? And when the Lord heard this, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Isn't it interesting? To whom much is given, much is required. And Moses did not need to hear a sermon of Jesus Christ. He knew the principle. Imagine what God has endowed to me. Imagine that through my hands, the power of the miracles, the power of God. Imagine that through me, through my mouth, imagine that the staff, behold the salvation. Oh God, who is worthy of these? I humble myself. Moses was the humblest man on the face of the earth, because he knew the way up was down. And notice what he says. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, you three come out of the tent meeting. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood by the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak to him in a dream. Yeah, that's what we want. We want you to speak to us in a vision. We want to speak. Did you speak to us in a dream? We can be your spokesman. Not so with my servant Moses. He's faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You mean you actually speak to him mouth to mouth? Yeah. So forget what you're interested in for your sake. It's just an imagination. It's your own dreaming. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. I tell everything to Moses. Why? Because I can trust him. He's humbled by it. It won't go to his head. And he beholds the form of the Lord. In fact, let me tell you something. The reason some people aren't given a lot in serving Jesus Christ is because God sees you can't be trusted with it. Everybody wants to be rich. You know why most poor people aren't rich? Because they'd be dead by now if they were all rich. They'd be dead. The mortality rate in the United States, if everybody was a millionaire, would be 25. We take all this wealth and use it for our undoing, and we'd all be dead. I don't care how good medical science is. It would be our destruction, our undoing. For behold, the form of the Lord. Why were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? Read on. So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam. Behold, she was leprous. And you know what's the next thing that Aaron does? He turns to Moses and says, oh, Moses, please help my wife. My sister, thank you. My friend, in the same way, the reason you're a Christian, you're anointed, is because the Holy Spirit, Jesus, has anointed you. The reason you are a son of God is because in Christ we've been adopted as sons of God through Jesus Christ. You're a son of God to your Heavenly Father. The reason we are ambassadors is because Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Oh, amazing. All these names given to us, the privilege we have in doing this. He's made us anointed to serve him. He's made us sons of God to serve him. He's made us ambassadors of God to serve him. Because, my friend, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered the mind of man what God has prepared for his children. You're a vine, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Why? Here is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. My Father is glorified that you bring forth this fruit. My friend, that's why in this church, in Grace Church, you're going to find out we're obsessed with Jesus Christ. We're obsessed with Jesus Christ because God has made him the one to get obsessed by. He is the one. As I said, in eternity, God's going to have 5 billion lights, and every light will have a 5 billion-watt bulb, and all those bulbs and all those lights is going to point to one person, Jesus Christ, because he is the one that died on the cross. The Father didn't die on the cross. He's the one that obeyed the Father, and the way up is down. Imagine the destruction of Satan, because Satan came to Jesus, says, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all this. if you promote yourself, if you tempt the Lord, and I deserve that God helps me while I stumble and fall, and he'll not let you stumble and pick you. No, Satan, no, sir. Do not tempt the Lord your God. Man does not eat by bread alone. You shall worship the Lord and serve him only. What's all that? Servant talk. Servant talk. Luke 22. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as the Father has granted me a kingdom. Now here is, Jesus said, I'm a servant and I've got a kingdom. Just as the Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There it is. The position of these men to serve Jesus Christ, even to the point of death, was the foundation that Jesus Christ would say, you're going to sit on thrones and you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Because that is the path that I took, and that's the path that you will take. But then, wonder of wonders, can I show you some amazing verse, and we'll be done here in 2 minutes. Luke 12, 35. If this was not in the Bible, I would not believe this is true. In fact, if I said these words to you, you'd have the right to call me a heretic. But Jesus said these words. Luke 12, 35. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Now read on. This is mind-boggling. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he, who is he? The master, will gird himself to serve and have them. Them are the slaves. Why? Because there are many slaves. There's only one he. Notice, he doesn't say, and they will gird themselves to serve him. He, Jesus, will gird himself to serve us. Did you hear what I just said? At some point in the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus Christ is going to reenact what he did on Passover night. He's going to get up from supper and he's going to wash his followers' feet. He will gird himself to serve and have them recline at table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second hour or even the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. Oh no, it's not blessed to be a slave. It's blessed to get slave labor. That's a blessing. Now compare that again to these verses. Which of you having a slave plowing and tending feet will say to him when he comes in, come immediately and sit down to eat? But he will not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me when I eat and drink. And afterwards you may eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he does the things that are commanded, does he? So you too, when you've done all these things that are commanded of you, we're unworthy slaves. We've only done that which we ought to have done. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at table and will come up and wait on them. Can you imagine that? Why? Because the way up is down. When you say, everything I've done, I'm unworthy. My friend, it's an honor that you're in the church of Jesus Christ. You're in the church of Jesus Christ to be the hands of Jesus Christ and the feet of Jesus Christ and the mouth of Jesus Christ and the ear of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that you know what heaven's going to be? Heaven's going to be, we're going to serve and worship Jesus Christ. We're going to reign and serve and worship Jesus. We're going to serve. We were meant for that. It doesn't say, okay, we're all done. Now, holy, holy, holy for the next 10,000 years. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we're no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And the way we sing God's praises is reigning with him and worshiping him and serving him. That principle is not going to end. We're going to serve Jesus Christ. How? The way? I don't know, but we're going to do it, and it's going to be great. So the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the end of the series. The end of the series. Everything we have is because of Jesus Christ. Every name we have is because of Jesus Christ. And wonder of wonders, what we have is because of the position of Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us, my position was because of my serving. And your position is your serving. After you've done everything, played 10,000 million concerts, preached 10 billion sermons, I'm unworthy. I've only done which was expected of me. It's worth serving Jesus Christ. That's the glory of the names he's given to us. What a great name to be a Christian, a son, an heir, an ambassador, a light, a salt. What an honor. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that the way you destroyed pride was humility. The way you destroyed the works of the devil was the sending of your Son. And so, Lord, give us that vision, that truth. Give each of us personally, not what others are doing, not comparing us what others are doing, not looking at a little mole on our hand, not let us moping and complaining and griping, but help us to go forth in the strength of the Lord to serve you and to live for you and to honor you all the days of our life. Thank you, Father, for this series. Thank you for the truths that you've shown to all of us by your grace. Father, bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to have you. Please greet one another in his love. You are dismissed.